You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Welcome to Light Years. We are recording on the Locker Room app after the Warriors 119-116 win over the Utah Jazz. Bradley Beal already helping the Warriors out, tweeting Kent Bazemore into his best game of the season. Andy Liu, how you doing, my man?
Are we starting with Beal and Bazemore? Because
we start on the game and then we can get to that later.
Let's get to that topic 3 or 4. Yeah, this game was it was playoff atmosphere. I know that the Jazz were missing, you know, Donnie Mitch and Mike Conley, but this one felt like a playoff game. And Draymond and Steph were ready. I keep saying this every podcast, and I'm gonna keep saying it, Sam, until they get kicked out of the postseason. These guys deserve to be in the playoffs, year in, year out, until the day they retire. They're so good. They're so good when they are locked in.
I almost want to talk more about Draymond than Steph, just because, like, with Steph, it's, well, no, I don't want to take him for granted ever, but there's less of the ramp up factor with Steph. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steph is like consistently excellent. Like, he'll go through spells where he looks tired, but right. Like, bad Steph in the regular season is like, oh man, 25 points per game on 45% shoot. Like, that's bad Steph, right?
Right.
Like, whereas Draymond earlier in the season, I was wondering, if the days of prime Draymond were over. And you watch him play a game like tonight, man, you know, we can pick apart the things he can't do, but he's still a very high end winning player. Particularly on the defensive end, and just we can start with that. You know, he's hitting shots now. You know, that's going to ebb and flow. But, like, for me, it's more like the way he's moving and the urgency he plays with. I'm like, this is a guy you can still trust in the conference finals or the finals to make the right decision.
Yep. Maybe we just chalk the early season stuff up to COVID or a ramp up, or he just hadn't played meaningful basketball in as long as Steph Curry hasn't played basketball, right? Last season didn't count. Draymond coasted through that thing. But he's back now. At this point, I really don't care what the beginning of the season looked like, because if you give these guys a chance, and by these guys, I mean Steph and Draymond, you put them in a series, they can win that series against almost everyone. And that's kind of the crazy part about this thing. Draymond can be that good. I guess, Sam, I was a little bit more optimistic than you. I thought Draymond had that in him because I saw that against Portland, but we didn't know how great it was. Tonight, though, and really, it's been the last like 3-4 weeks. That's how long it's been. Tells me that this guy is still, I don't know, would you agree with me, the best defender in the NBA when he's locked in? Would you agree? That's how good he is right now on the short list.
Like, yeah. You could convince me Anthony Davis is better.
Yeah.
Or maybe sure. Kawhi, but that's like literally all I'm talking about. Like, get out of here with Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is an excellent player, but you see his weaknesses magnified against, quite frankly, Steph Curry. Whereas Draymond still can move and is still as smart as anyone ever. Zach Lowe put him on his first team all defense. He did his like award article, which I would agree with. And he said, if Draymond is not 100% of what he was in 2016, he's still 90 to 95%. And honestly, that's probably the best way to put it. Like, I don't know if Draymond is as good as he was at his absolute peak, but I know he's still pretty elite on defense. And I know for a fact there's only, I don't know, maybe a half dozen players who you could legitimately say are as good as him on defense when he's engaged. If that, at
if most. That, yeah. Yeah. And I think even in the last decade he's been the NBA. No, it's not even right now. In the last decade he's been the NBA, there hasn't been much better.
For that, I agree with. If you're going to say who's the best defender of 10 to 20, it's Draymond. Change the game. Most important defender.
Yep.
I mean, Draymond's the reason everyone's looking for 6'6" to 6'8" guys who can guard all positions instead of rim running centers. You know, he's the reason that defenses have shifted, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry's the reason why offenses are the way they are today, right? For one reason, and you said that earlier, and Draymond's the other reason why that defenses are the way they are.
Because it's the only way to play a guy like Steph Curry.
It really is. Like, those guys are literally, they're yin and yang. They're perfect together. I thought that final three that Steph hit, the game-winning three, was perfect, right? Looney gets the rebound. By the way, another just an incredible offensive rebound. Great awareness. Passes it back out. Who gets it back out to Draymond. And Draymond knows. He knows where Steph is. Steph is also, you know, he is who he is. He knows to cut to the right because he's wide open. And Draymond just flicks him the ball, and it's a wide open three. I mean, it's a tough shot. I think he was still like 3 feet behind the line. But with Steph, you kind of know that's going in. And that's what we've seen for years. Those guys are kind of perfect together. And then on the other end, I guess a lot of the Warriors met Clarkson at the rim. But Draymond met him at the rim and then went ahead and got that offensive rebound, right? And then the wherewithal to call the timeout so that he's not the one.
That's also the funny thing with Draymond, because like his rebounding has been lower this year than in the past. And I've kind of chalked that up more to the roster and like maybe he doesn't have the legs to get the out of his area rebounds that he used to. You know, like 3-4 years ago, like Draymond was just everywhere on the court. Yep. Like you'd just be like, how are you at the 3-point line and under the rim in the same split second, right? And like these days now, it's like he's not doing that as much. But like in these moments when he has to lock in, he still has the capability to do that and the physical. Like it's quintessential aging. He's picking his spots a little bit, but like he's still as smart as he ever was. And he physically can still get up for it. It's good to see he's over COVID. It's good to see that, like, you know, again, is he as athletic as he was in 2016? No. But maybe 90%, you know, it's pretty much there.
These guys deserve a better team around them. Let's talk about the other guys. Are we good with Steph and Dre?
Yeah, we're good. By the way, I love how Steph getting, 37 points? Is that what he finished with tonight? 36 points.
Yeah,
36. Sorry, 36 points on okay efficiency. Yeah. We're like, yeah, we don't need to talk about 36 points.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, anytime Steph gets under 40, it's like, all right, you know, he did his job, but whatever. That just speaks to like the level he's been playing at for like the last month and a half, right?
You know what? You know, you're right. You're right. We should talk about Steph. Yes, 3-for-13 from three tonight. I saw that some of the OKC announcers was talking about Steph is if you get him, you know, at the rim or under the 3-point line, he's not as good of a scorer. Steph was unstoppable from 2-point range then, right? Just you tweeted about the 15-foot push shot that he made. He actually made a couple of them in a row, which is just incredible skill wise. Like,
he makes that off balance push floater like, I don't even know what to call it. It's not quite a push shot, but it's not a floater either. And he's, well, somewhere between like 15 and 18 feet. So it's, but yeah, he makes it every time.
You watch him in pregame. You've seen him do this a million times. For people that don't know, he practices this shot in his warm. In his shooting drills. Yeah, he practices it. It just looks weird in the game, but he does it. not in warm up lines, but you know how he puts on a show before every. People see right. The long threes that he shoots, but before he does that, he practices those little push floaters. And you know, I guess maybe he should do it more often. But honestly, you know, he shot 13 threes tonight. You know, he made three of them, so he knew it wasn't going in. He shot some shots that were a little bit closer. Yeah, incredible. I mean, 36.
And I just want to throw this in. That's like one of my favorite things that Steph started doing a few years ago. Like, remember when the Spurs would overplay him from the 3-point line, and it would frustrate the hell out of him that he couldn't get the step back or the sidestep three that he likes to take. Now he. If you're going to overplay the three, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to take the mid-range shot. And I'm just going to take the layup over and over again. And like, that's what he did against Utah, overplayed the three. And then they had Gobert standing inside. And he's like, all right, if you give me a 15 footer, I'll just make it every time. And he did. Right. So that's kind of the best way to describe him. Like, he has kind of an offensive mastery where he knows how to take advantage of the defense.
The guy is he's on another level. It doesn't matter. I do love the he does something. It's a little bit new this season and now it's becoming almost unstoppable. I think they've kind of figured out those how to play against those double teams. Is they run a screen. They know the double is coming. He gives it up super quick, and he's kind of stopped turning the ball over against those doubles. But literally right after he gives it up, Draymond, instead of going for the 4-on-3 because, you know, Iguodala isn't there and Clay isn't in the corner, he just shovels it right back to Steph. I think that's kind of out of necessity at this point, but it is cool how they're doing it so often. It really is every single time, and players haven't caught up to that yet. I'm sure they will at some point in the postseason or next season, Sam, but as of now, it's pretty cool to see it. Just Steph and Dre repeatedly, all day long.
Absolutely. All right, let's move forward. What are we going to get to next? Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole.
Big okay. Jordan Poole game. Where are you at with Jordan?
Big Jordan Poole game. Big Jordan Clarkson game. And that's the comp, right? if Jordan Poole – I wish Jordan Poole was like 3 years older, because he would be so perfect for this team. He would just be a perfect player for this team the last five seasons. Even when the Warriors were unstoppable, they were missing a guy like Jordan Poole off the bench. Create his own shot. Microwave score, right? I just – a little bit more flash than anyone else. I guess Leandro Barbosa is kind of the guy that's closest to what Jordan Poole is going to become. But yeah, man, incredible tonight. I wish he shot the three a little bit better, Sam, but you know, I guess he's 21, 22. But yeah, just watching him and watching Jordan Clarkson, I'm sitting there and I'm just laughing, because I'm like, well, there's the guy that you're probably going to end up being, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, Jordan Poole, I think he's a better shooter than Clarkson, but not as good finishing. It's like, Jordan Clarkson is just more athletic, better finisher inside in general. Hopefully I didn't mix up their names. Anyway, what I was going to say, tonight Jordan Poole had it working from outside. And for me, that's like the big thing for him, because I feel like his shot looks good every time it goes up. Like, he has good form. He has good touch. But this season has kind of been defined by when he's feeling it from outside, he's really effective. When he's not feeling it, you get a lot of those like 2-for-9 games where he's not super effective. And that's part of being a young player, but I'm just excited for him to kind of take that step and become a little more confident. Tonight he was hitting those shots, and when he's hitting those shots, he's a welcome weapon for this team. Cause as we know, you know, we pencil in Steph for 35 at this point. Like, that the baseline for Steph is 35, and we're just like holding on for dear life, hoping anyone else can help contribute in any capacity in terms of.
Yeah, we got a couple of timely threes from Mulder tonight. Money Mike, as the Chase Center announcers say, a big three from Juan Toscano-Anderson tonight, who looks like he should be playing in the playoff rotations, which is awesome to see. I think all around a good game. You know, they I don't know if you call it choked away the big lead. It kind of is what it is, right? Utah's not they're a really good team, even without Minichel and Conley. But I think that's one of the games where, you know, the Warriors end up losing earlier this season. Dare I say they've gotten better in those situations with guys like Bazemore, Wiggins, Poole, some of those guys that maybe have learned to be better in those clutch situations so they don't make some of those dumb mistakes. You know, that could be something to monitor moving forward.
And yeah, no, definitely. Let's talk about our let's start about the star of the show tonight, Kent Bazemore. Let's do a little Bazemore and then we'll bring on the questions. So, yeah. First off, can I be honest and just say Bazemore's joke about Beal was funnier more because of how corny it was. Like, he was unaware of how it could potentially rub anyone the wrong way. Like, if you watch the video of him, it reminded me of Super Troopers, where Farva, like the annoying guy, like thinks he has like a really good joke and no one laughs. That was like Bazemore when he's like, hey guys, you know, some guys are even hurting their hamstrings. He like can't even hold it in because he's like laughing to himself. Like, that's how I heard it. And I was just like, I mean, you know, it's internet, so you deserve to get the jokes you get from that. But I didn't think it was all as malicious as people were taking it. I thought it was just like another, like, Kent Bazemore reaching for a foul, not realizing he's reaching type of situation.
I mean, look, you were laughing before you said that. Like, Bazemore.
Hey.
You're right. I thought it was a dumb joke, right? Like, anytime someone's hurt, like, why are you making fun of someone getting hurt? In that moment, he thought it was funny. I think nobody really understood what he was trying to say besides Monty Poole, who tweeted it out. What I also thought
if you watch the video, he's like laughing before he says it. Like, he really
smiling.
Like, you can tell he like told someone that joke and was like, I'm going to make them all laugh. Like, I have the perfect pun. And no one stopped him and be like, dude, that's not funny. And it's definitely not going to go over well.
It's well, you know what I thought was beyond that was just Bradley Beal was corny, right? Like, Bradley Beal fired off about 15 tweets. Just, I don't know what he was. It's just what Bradley Beal was saying wasn't even that cool. It was just kind of just like, get off me, like, you're not to say, like, that's type of corny stuff. Which is, I guess maybe it will sound cool in person on the court, but just online, it's just like, I don't know, what are we doing here, right? It just You average 30 plus points. You're a superstar. You guys are going to be in a playoff team. Like, if you want to say something, why don't you just text Bazemore, right? Or just call him. Like, it's not like you can't get his number, but
I don't know that.
Like, that was corny. Like, I don't need.
Yeah, he definitely
from Bradley Beal.
He made a show out of it, but I'm also not convinced he wasn't like being just as what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just being just as silly about it. Like, at this point, I just don't take anyone serious. Yeah, I just don't take anyone serious with internet beefs anymore. Like, let's be real about it. It's everyone just does like fake tough guy stuff online. Like, do you really think Beal cares that much? Do you really think like a 2 minute conversation or Kent Bazemore is like, hey man, I didn't really mean anything like that. Like they wouldn't be over it. So I don't know. It's just kind of the internet. Like, it was funny watching. For me, the funniest part was watching people who were looking for a reason to hate the Warriors, like using this as like, see how.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But like, you know, that was my whole thing where I was just watching it. I'm like, this is just people using it as an excuse. Cause like, I didn't think Bazemore was serious about it. And you can say like, have a little better judgment than like questioning a guy's health because of how serious everyone is. But also I'm not like sure Beal cared as much. Like he fired off a bunch of tweets, but like you and I both know how it is. Like you fire one off, you get a bazillion retweets, and it's like, ah, I gotta feed the beast a little bit.
Bradley Beal and his wife, it's a funny couple. Honestly, I've had enough of this topic. Let's move on. I think it was a good game. Steph was
awesome. I just thought we need to acknowledge it for a minute.
Yes. You're right.
The game's more important, though. This is a big W for the Warriors, so we're going to get to questions now.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
So we're starting with Kyle. What's up, Kyle? Gotta always start it with someone who's not.
Hey, guys.
Oh, what's up, man?
Sorry about that. Hey, how's it going? So I gotta say, this game definitely cemented that Baze God has got to be on the team next year. But I gotta say, like, I'm starting to think we got to find somebody to fill the Looney spot. I know he played all right tonight. Like, he adds a little something, but he's not big enough. He's not strong enough. He's not fast enough. He's not tough enough. Like, he doesn't shoot. So what do you guys think? Like, can we get a better backup big than Kevon Looney, or is he really what we're stuck with for next year?
Kyle, I appreciate the question. It's a fair question. All right. For me, I think Looney is as good as you're going to get for like a rotation big. I think he's been pretty good for the Warriors. And just personally, I'm more concerned with them adding skill depth on the wings than another big man at this point. They still have Wiseman coming back, who's a developmental priority. But even if Wiseman isn't there, they can probably find some goon who can like kind of do some facsimile of Looney things just to like add to the rotation. If it was up to me, I think they need to prioritize like skill on the wings.
Well, you know, first off, Kevon Looney's been pretty damn good the last month plus, right? At the beginning of the season, I think he struggled a little bit, whatever it was, rust or just getting into it. But right now he's playing the almost 30 minutes a game. He's been awesome defensively and getting rebounds and even some scoring. I would say the big man stuff is, you know, if James Wiseman is back, you want him to play into some of those roles, right? He's like the biggest player in the NBA. He's one of the biggest players in the NBA. Like, you want him to be one of those players, even if he's 20, 21 years old. And like Sam said, right, Dwayne Dedman just got picked up by the Miami Heat off the scrap heap, and he's a fine center. You can find those guys every day out there on the court. So I'm with you. Prioritize some shooting, some wing defense. You know, get Glenn Robinson the third, but I don't know, whatever it is, right? But those probably are at the top of them.
Absolutely. Keep moving. Ricky Garcia, what is up, my man?
Oh, what's up, guys?
All right, what you got for us, Ricky?
All right, so I wanted to go off in a different direction here and talk some NBA draft. So it was a very stressful NFL draft in the Bay Area, to say the least. So I wanted to ask you guys, who's the Mac Jones in this year's NBA draft?
Ooh, Ricky, appreciate the question. I'm actually going to avoid this one. I'm going to say we're not doing draft talk till the Warriors are eliminated from the playoffs. Someone said Corey Kispert. I don't hate that, but I'm saying we're avoiding draft talk until the Warriors season is over.
I'd be okay with Kispert. Shooters, but yes, I'm okay with that. My first gut tells me.
I'm fine with Kispert at 15, but yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Warriors' own pick, right? Yeah,
15. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the Warriors are getting the Minnesota pick. So anyway, let's keep it moving. Maybe Kuminga, I think. Maybe Jalen Green, but I don't think there is a Mac Jones, though, in this draft.
Antonio, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's up? I was just going to say that Clarkson comparison was real spot on. I feel like if Poole could get 33 shots a game, he'd definitely check them. Like, that one play, he had missed like 2 threes before. And then he goes up and he does this with like less than 10 seconds of the shot clock. And even, it was probably like 18 seconds on the shot clock. And he does a step back in the corner. And I'm just like, what are you doing? But then it's like, he makes it. And I'm like, yeah, this is why I love Poole so much. It's just so crazy. I can't wait till like he bulks up a little and, you know, get rid of the little fouls, the and one foul that he was doing. So he had like 4 and he barely played. But yeah, I see some real potential in him.
Thanks, Antonio. I agree. I mean, it's always tough because Jordan Poole's like young for a second year player too. Like, we often forget he's not just a young player. He's young for when he was drafted. And then you throw the pandemic stuff into it. Like, so he might have higher upside. I know a friend of the show, Ethan Strauss, thinks he's a potential superstar, but, you know, he can play a role for this team in the short term. And like, maybe his upside is higher than a sixth man. I just think of the short term as a sixth man.
I don't know if the upside is there given just the decision-making that he, I mean, you can get better at it, right? You can get better at decision-making, but just watching the way he plays basketball and the stuff he tries out there, I don't really see it, but yeah, I'm with you.
He's not an Andy Lue type player.
He is not, actually.
Jared, what's up, man?
What to do? I just wanted to make sure to shout out Lock Up Loon tonight. He was
like
great.
That.
And also, yeah, also wanted to talk to my guy who was hating on Loon but gave Bazemore some love. I just don't know if the Warriors can survive Bazemore's hacking in the playoffs. Like, this guy's got to just be cool off the fouls. Yeah. What do you guys think about Bazemore and all his like just fouls adding up in a playoff game? I don't know if we can survive if he's like fouling like he does.
I mean, I'm with you, Jared. Appreciate the call. The Warriors' fundamental issue is that they're not deep enough. Like, we know Steph is good enough to be the best player in a series versus any team. We know Draymond's a winning player. And I think Wiggins has been decidedly a plus for this team. And we can go down the line, but they just don't have as many bodies. They're playing 8 guys, and half the guys they're playing are probably playing in roles that are too big for them. Like we've always said, happy with Bazemore at 15 minutes a game. Not so sure I love him at 30 minutes a game.
Yep. I'm with you. I think a lot of the Bazemore funny stuff is we just got to watch him too much. It's you hang out with someone too long, you know, you start to figure out all their flaws. Not that great. Right, Sam? You know, 6 podcast. No, but I think, yeah, Bazemore's good. He's going to be back on the team next season as a ninth man, and it'll be fine.
He's going to be a lot better when he got Clay in there. Maybe they add another wing, and Bazemore doesn't have to take as big of a role.
Baze and Beal, you know, might be best friends next season on the same team. Who knows?
Was this all a long con to get Beal starting to talk to the Warriors? Yeah, yeah. All right. Tom, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to know what percentage chance do you guys give us to beat either the Lakers in the Blazers in the play-in and, say, either the Suns and the Jazz in the playoffs?
This is a great question. Thank you, Tom. I'll let Andy go first. Play-in game. How do you feel about them versus the Lakers?
I don't have a good feeling about that. I'll be honest with you. I think the way that I watched Anthony Davis last night and I said, that's the guy that should have won the Finals MVP. They're saying LeBron is probably, he could probably play right now if it was the postseason. So he'll probably be back ready to go by the time the actual postseason comes around. that's a team that obviously, when healthy, is a championship team. So I don't know, Sam. I don't really have a good feeling about the play-in game.
I always feel like in a single elimination, they're always going to be dicey, because if Steph gets hot, that's like, I don't think they could beat the Lakers in a best of seven. They could beat the Lakers in the best of one, though, just because it's like the NCAA tournament. Steph gets hot, it's a nightmare, right? But with that said, I think I feel pretty reasonable about the Warriors' chances to upset the Jazz, more so, and not just because of tonight. Like, the Jazz were playing without their starting backcourt tonight, but in general, the Warriors' best player renders the Jazz' best player less effective. Like, Rudy Gobert is just not that effective versus the Warriors. And that's a major matchup problem in the playoffs. The Phoenix Suns could be a little dice here, because Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they just have a little more firepower. But I think Utah is, let's just say, for an 8 seed going into 1, that's as good as you're going to get.
Yes, I mean, Fitz made the comp. Here's what I don't like. Fitz made the comp about these Warriors to the We Believe Warriors playing against the Mavs. I don't like that, Sam, because that tells me, like, that We Believe team was a cute one time, that's it type of team. One time, one.
Also, that We Believe team made, like, that roster was new after the trade deadline and got, like, caught fire after the trade deadline. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Steven Jackson, Al Harrington, those guys weren't on the Warriors before February 20th or whatever.
This team has two players that are above and beyond what any of those guys were in the NBA. And that's what I don't like about what Fitz is doing. Fitz is essentially, unshockingly, painting the Warriors as this David, right, against every single team that's a Goliath. And I think that's very disrespectful to who Steph and Draymond are. These guys are good enough to win. And they shouldn't be treated like they're a cute kind of Cinderella team. Like, that's not who they are. These guys are elite NBA Hall of Famers, right? They if they play Portland a series, I'm taking the Warriors, right? Like, I'm saying they won't beat the Lakers because the Lakers are a championship team. And so I'm with you. Like, the Jazz or the Suns, either one, like, they have a real shot at winning that series. It's not like this.
Who'd you rather face, though?
Jazz.
Okay.
Jazz.
Yeah, so you agree with me. The Jazz are good, and I love so many things about them, but, like, they're just a little more vulnerable.
Yep.
All right, keep moving. Alex, what's going on, man?
So, they obviously, by winning tonight, I think it actually gives Phoenix even more reason to come out all guns a-blazing tomorrow. And let me just ask you guys about this wild hypothetical here. As somebody sitting on a Warriors over 38.5 wins, I had given up on this probably like months ago, honestly, at this point. But, like, do you think it's possible that they just go guns a blazing down the stretch and finish with a perfect homestand?
Ooh. I wouldn't bet on it, Alex. By the way, placing money on 38.5, ballsy. I waited till it fell to 36.5, which I'm feeling good about right now. Much better than I felt about selling Dogecoin before it just went insane.
Well, it went down again, so you might be right.
Whatever. I sold it before I could make money on it, so that was my mistake. But anyway,
yeah, I do.
To his point,
it all depends on tomorrow, right? Like, I think
– I kind of think they're going to rest guys tomorrow. If I'm Steve Kerr – if I'm Bob Myers, if I'm the Warriors, I might throw tomorrow's game, because the Pelicans game should be winnable because no Zion or Ingram. And then you're going to have to beat Memphis either way. So you might as well just use it, because, like, let's be real here. If you can get Steph a little extra rest, why not?
Sam Lightyear is over here. You know, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think the team is playing pretty well right now. And, you know, I guess you can always say momentum is not a real thing, but this team is playing so well that I don't want to see these guys rest. I mean, unless you tell me these guys are hurt or whatever, right? Or these guys are exhausted, whatever. But I think there is something to just having these guys play out the season and getting a rhythm. Because right now, I mean, they beat the Thunder. These last couple wins that they've had have been against semi-cupcake teams. Now they're playing a real team like the Jazz. They won one. Why not try to go out there and win another one against, you know, against the top two seed in the West and get that confidence? That's going to be good for Poole, Mulder, you know, all at Bazemore even. So I think that's good for the rest of the team. Andrew Wiggins. I know Stephen Dre doesn't need it, but I think I'd rather see that. Also, I'm selfish. I want to see those guys play tomorrow night. We're doing locker room tomorrow night. I don't want to watch Mulder for 38 minutes.
Michael Mulder time. Kemp Bazemore with a quote on the Bradley Beal stuff.
Oh, brother.
I guess you can't joke anymore. Whatever. I feel like I'm a pretty lighthearted guy. Hey, man, my loyalty is to SC30. It got out of hand. I don't like to get involved in that crap. Kind of what I was expecting. You watch the video. I just don't think he thought he was saying anything all that malicious. Now, you can say he shouldn't have said it, but, like, I just really don't think he thought he, like, said something that was, like, mean.
I'm with you. He said, my loyalty is to SC30. That's perhaps the best part of the quote. You really said that? That's amazing.
I'm reading friend of the show, Drew Schiller. Anyway.
that is what Warriors fans also say. Damn. Our loyalty is to SC30. So. And by the way, Bazemore added, I ain't got time for all that Twitter trash. That's a lie. You know he has time for it.
Yeah. Whoa, hey, Jake, what's up, man?
Whoa. Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, barely. What you got for us?
Hey, so first of all, I just wanted to shout out Draymond. I thought he played awesome tonight, and I thought his passion was just super contagious, was firing everybody up. And then I had a question. I wanted to know what you guys think Lee and Oubre's roles will be when they come back. I think it's just going to be tough to get in a playoff rotation with the roles they had previously. So just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
It's a great question, Jake. Appreciate you. We're going to
take you off. Drake in a spaceship right now. Jesus.
Driving. Appreciate it. So I think just Damian Lee's going to take Mulder's role. That's easy. That's an easy one for me. Now, Kelly Oubre, a little dice here, but they could use the bodies. They don't have enough guys. I think they're going to go back to using Kelly Oubre in that 3-4 hybrid role that he was having success in before the injury. I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
Kelly Oubre is probably playing his last game for the Warriors. Sorry, I'm eating peanut butter pretzels. You caught me there. But I don't know if Oubre is coming back this season. I guess they say they're reevaluating him in a week or two, a couple of days ago, right? But reevaluating doesn't mean he's ready to get back on the court. So I don't know if he's going to be back. If he's back, I don't know if he's in shape to play-in postseason games, right? That's another beast. So if he is back, I think they're just going to play him off the bench. They're going to keep him in the role that he was
relatively I agree with you there. All right, let's keep moving. Dylan, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I just had a really quick question. So by my math, Steph needs to get 62 more points over the next three games to lock up the scoring title. And he needs 23 more threes, I think, to get to 350. So what do you guys think? You think he's going to get to 350 and lock up the scoring title by, you know, end of the Pels game?
Seven threes a game. Whew.
I think he's going to get the scoring title. I don't know that he will get to 350 threes. I don't know that I care either, to be honest. So I'd rather him just get – I want him to get the scoring title because I know he wants to get
it. I need Dylan's voice. That is an incredible voice.
Great voice. Agreed. John, what's up, man?
John. Yo, what's going on, guys?
Yeah. Just a delightful Monday night.
Yeah. I want to, you know – say that one, Steph Curry, he's freaking amazing. God, we got to love that guy. And Bazemore, thank you again for bringing him to Under Armour. You're made for life. You know, you can say what you want on Twitter. It's all good. And hey, you know, Utah Jazz are freaking frauds. They haven't won squad. The squad they have now has not even been able to make it out of the first round. And they haven't proven anything. And the Suns, they have even less experience, except for the choke artist is Chris Paul. You know, right? So I'm not really worried about either of them, other than the fact that we have no roster and no depth. And in a 7-game series, it's just going to wear you down. And that's the worry, right? And that's unfortunate. But, you know, maybe you get a team like the Suns, you win a couple games early, and you get them nervous. They start freaking out. You steal a series, right? That's what vet teams do. If we've got a bunch of guys, maybe we can pull this off.
Appreciate it, John. Great call. Great
Pastor call. John, he got too juiced. He got too juiced.
All right, we're going to bring up the man who got himself in some trouble with some smiley slander. Mike Mikus. What's up, man?
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, I do want to first apologize to Alan Smigley-Geach and his beautiful girlfriend for slandering them. I know Kirk and Kent Lakeup sent all their burner accounts out and their verified friends to go at me. I'm finally off of private, so I'm back. I'm active on Twitter again because Alan's actually got more fans on Twitter than Steph Curry, I found out. Steph actually has haters. Alan's only got lovers. So that was interesting to discover.
Nice.
I thought the game was awesome tonight. It really did. It was fun to not watch us blow a late game and, you know, trick one away. I thought Looney was great. I do want to push back on that opening with Looney. Looney's had, like, if Looney had knees and hips, he'd be Will Chamberlain. I've determined it. So I thought he was great. And Draymond's been playing some of the best ball of, I would go as far as to say, in the last 4 years, he looks as good as he's ever looked since at least his 2016 season. So I want to push back there. But I was having a question. I don't want to overlook the first-round opponent by any stretch, but is it actually better for us to lose to the Lakers, beat Memphis, get the 8 seed, you get Utah in a matchup, and then the 4 or 5 seed currently is either Denver or Dallas? We just displayed that we can beat Denver. We beat them twice in the last month, and they don't have Jamal Murray. And Dallas, they did embarrass us on national TV, but earlier in the season, we lost to them by 2, and then before that game, we beat them by like 30. I think both of those matchups are very favorable if we could get out of the first round. And what do you guys think? I think it's very important that we avoid that 2-3 side of the bracket, because then you have to deal with Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just my thoughts.
Mikus, appreciate it. We're gonna take you off air.
Incredible call. Just incredible.
I do agree with him. Like, if you were to tell me, okay, so this is a decidedly mediocre Warriors team. Like, Steph and Draymond are who they are, but like, beyond that, it's kind of a mediocre roster, right? If you were to tell me they're going to get Utah and then the winner of Denver, Dallas, like, that's as favorable a draw as you can hope.
I just, the audacity to think about a second round series for these Golden State Warriors after what we've watched all season. I respect that. I don't know what to say. Yeah, of course he's right. You would rather play Denver and Dallas
than the Clippers and Lakers.
Utah, right. Of course. But I just, what part of watching this team this season do you think have we even thought of that? You know, like, I'm with you. This whole night I'm saying Steph, Draymond, amazing. But it would be one of the best playoff runs that I've seen if they're able to get that far. Because if they're playing Dallas in a postseason series, these guys are in the Western Conference Finals. And I don't really want to think about that because now I feel like
we're right, playing. Right.
Yeah.
All right, keep moving. Jackson, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, I'm feeling pretty optimistic tonight. You know, I'm so disappointed with this roster construction in the front office that I've just been really enjoying Draymond and Steph lately. I just hope all Warrior fans can take a step back and appreciate their two-man game. They're like, the way they complement each other on the court is nothing like I've ever seen before. I was trying to think about it the other day and compare them to other two-man, like, kind of duos in NBA history. And I don't know if there's a lot of other stars that coexist on the court together. LeBron, D. Wade, you know, like even Kobe, Shaq. But I don't know if there's ever been two players that truly make each other so much better. Like, we know that Draymond is so much better with Steph on the court. And I truly believe that Steph is enhanced so much by having Draymond there. Like, watching them together and all the variation, the nuance, the screening, the timing is like, I feel like I'm watching like a choreography, like I'm watching a dance performance. Like, they could win So You Think You Can Dance, or like Dancing with the Stars. It's like crazy shit like that. So my question for y'all is, can you think, I was a little young for Stockton and Malone, are there any other duos that you can compare them to that where you've just seen where you feel like they're just like, they're one in the same? Like, is there anyone you can even compare them to, or what do you think of their relationship on the court?
Appreciate it, Jackson. I feel like the easiest comp is the Spurs, but it's more of like a three-man comp.
Yeah, but that was a team. Yeah, that is the good one though. Yeah. Spurs. I got one for you.
Go for it.
He's my favorite player outside of Steph. I loved Nash and Amari.
Okay.
I guess Amari didn't make. Yeah, Nash. Like, it was more Nash beating Amari and that type of stuff. But Nash and Amari was incredible.
That was, I guess, my generation's version of Stockton and Malone. But, I mean, they should have won a championship, that team. They got robbed by David Stern. But that was a – I felt like those guys, I guess mostly was Steve Nash, but it was beautiful basketball and really, like, unstoppable basketball and incredible chemistry. So that's my
mentions favorite. Go Chris Gatling and Sharunas, the obvious answer. No, I agree with you. Like, I don't like comparing them to a pick and roll combo because they're not really a pick and roll combo.
Right.
Because Draymond's, it's not like the point guard feeding the roll man for 25 a game, like that sort of thing. So I don't know. I'm going to always go to the Spurs comp because I feel like you, especially when you throw Clay into it, the Tony, Manu, Timmy, like they kind of like, there's like an osmosis between the three of them. I feel like that's the Warriors.
Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon, another good one, you know.
Stop.
All right, let's go. Keep it moving.
All right, couple more. Tanner, what's up, man?
So Tanner. I just had a – can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. So Andy brought it up earlier. It's about what development means, not just for the young guys, but the guys that don't have a lot of playoff experience. Like Wiggins has one playoff series, JTA – maybe 28, 29, but he's still kind of new in the league. I think it's important that we get into a, you know, crunch time games and like a big playoff series where guys play games that mean something. And I mean, I just want to know what you guys think about, you know, getting minutes for guys like Poole, Lee, JTA, obviously Wiggins, and, you know, obviously, games or shit means something.
Yeah, Tanner. It's a great question. I do agree with you. That's actually probably why we were voicing frustration earlier in the season. Like, obviously, losing Clay, they're not a contender. But, like, I felt like making noise this year was what was going to matter to them being able to make moves in free agency this summer. So, beyond the fact that, like, Jordan Poole wants Scottie Anderson – a few of these guys, like, playoff minutes are going to be vital for them. Like, obviously, Wiseman's not getting playoff minutes, so that sucks. But, like,
That's the toughest one.
Yeah, yeah. As much as, like, we want them to get playoff minutes just, you know, because they need to, I think it's going to be the best sales sign for the Warriors if you see Steph and Draymond dominating teams in the playoffs. And, you know, you're like a veteran Serge Ibaka type, and you're like, you know what? That seems like a good spot for me. Like, I think that matters.
I'm with you. I feel bad because I think this would have been a perfect ending stretch for James Wiseman. He needed these minutes. Maybe they win less games, but he needed some playoff minutes, play-in minutes, crunch time minutes. If it was only 8-10 minutes, I would have really liked for him to get that. It sucks that he got that taken away from him because of the injury, and now he's kind of back to square one next season. But
by the way, we got a Draymond quote here because he's a fucking sociopath. Draymond on playing games with playoff implications.
All right.
I play better when they matter. When they don't matter, it's tougher. I'm enjoying these games. It's one of those things where you can't really explain it. Like, people ask, why doesn't Draymond play like this all the time? And I'm like, if you know a better way to activate that, like, little extra in him, like, tell Steve Kerr, you know? Like, I think Draymond's one of those guys who needs stakes to, like, really get him going. And there's no other way around it. Like,
well,
so I think by the way, that's why he's always shows up in big moments, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys, yes, for sure. I think that's why the three-point shooting is coming back. Somebody had a great story today. I think it was Bill Simmons on his podcast. He was talking about the scoring title back then. I wasn't alive to watch George Gervin, and I believe the other guy was David Thompson.
Yeah, David Thompson.
Basically, they were the last day of the season scoring title. Both guys were averaging like 25 points, and I think Thompson scored like 70 something in the first game, and then Gervin had to score like 60 to win the scoring title, and he had like 40 something after the first quarter, and he ended up winning the scoring title, right? And when I heard that, it just felt like, yeah, these guys could probably, if they locked in and cared, play much harder than they could that day. Like, Draymond could probably play this way every game, but it's hard to play that 72 times in a season. You know what I mean? Like, Juan Toscano-Anderson can do it.
because he's still trying to make his way into the league. And now he's in the league and he kind of has to play that style to be effective, right? But it's hard for someone like Draymond to do that. And I think when I heard that story, it's just like, man, for these superstars, it's hard for these guys to play that damn hard every single night. So it's cool to see.
Agreed. Them kind of, particularly for guys who've been in the finals five times in a row. Like, you really think you can get someone up to get excited for, like, I mean, November 15th versus the Sacramento Kings might as well be your Monday 10 a.m. staff meeting to Draymond Green. Like, he's not excited for that. You know, I get it. I get it. Although it sucks to watch. But anyway, let's keep moving. Omar, what's up, my man?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You know, I remember I first listened to your podcast, like when you guys were doing the preseason, you know, preparation show, and you guys were talking about Steph, you know, trying to average, you know, needing to average 30 plus. And like, he's my favorite player ever. He's the reason that I, you know, like watch the sport. And I was like, nah, that's, you know, that's not happening with this team, this horribly constructed team. And I was just thinking about that today, like, you know, watching the last 6 weeks or so, and it's just really impressive. And I know like all Warriors fans have been pointing that out, but I mean, it's like, if that's kind of the thing that gives us joy in this otherwise very frustrating season, like, I definitely do appreciate that. It's good to know that, like, he's still that guy. And so that's basically all I wanted to say. Like, even I, you know, playing way above of my expectations.
I appreciate it, Omar. Let's do some Steph appreciation here, because Omar is right. I think the hardest thing, I feel like 90% of fan frustration this year is the fact that we all acknowledge Steph Curry is the best Warrior of all time, one of the 15 or 20 best players of all time. And this year, I mean, he's not playing for anything, right? Like, he's putting on a show for all of us, but he's not, they're not winning a title this year. Like, I mean, if he does, he's the greatest of all time, and I'll never hear an argument for anyone else ever again, but like, he's not winning a title this year. And I think that's the thing that's always driven us crazy, where it's like, people try to tell you to be patient and all stuff. And it's like, God, you don't get a guy of this caliber on your team, not just every year, like every decade. The Warriors could go two decades before they get a player who remotely resembles Steph after he retires. You owe it to everyone to try to do everything you can to compete with them. And just watching him play at this level, like, I mean, I don't know, man.
33. It's gonna,
hey, that's not that old, as someone who's older than 33. It's not that old.
You know what I love about Steph this season? I thought about this yesterday. Steph he's not afraid to say that he cares about something. He cares about winning the scoring title. He's not too cool to go for and try to win the scoring title.
Right, right.
He's not too cool to be in the three-point shooting contest for the 18th time, despite being the greatest shooter of all time. Like, everyone knows that, right? Like, he's not too cool.
Yeah, he doesn't need to win it to prove to people he can shoot. Yeah.
It's everybody, like, that's how awesome he is. And I think that's the cool thing about Steph. A lot of these NBA players nowadays and professional athletes, they're too cool. Like, I'm too cool to do any of this stuff. I don't need to prove myself, blah, blah. Like, with Steph, like, yeah, he doesn't need to prove himself, but he also doesn't act like he's above this stuff. He's out here shooting at the three-point contest against the likes of Mike freaking Conley. Like, the guy's a fringe all-star guy. And Steph's just entertaining.
That was not necessary.
But yeah, I just think it's really cool to see someone that cares about the game, the sport, winning, and just kind of the fans. I think, like, it resonates with the fans. Like, there is nobody in the NBA that people find more entertaining or care more about than I think Steph Curry. And I think that's awesome, man. That's outside of just him being great as a basketball player, right? He's just a
cool personality, and it's just, that we'll never see again. I don't want to get all emo about it, but it's just like, you know, you watch him play and you're just like, you wonder like how much longer it can go. And like, I don't know. That's what I get. Anyway. Hey, what's up, Aaron?
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, there you are. What's up, man?
Yeah, sorry. What's going on, brother? So, you know, I like to kind of just lurk and listen. I enjoy the show. And, you know, if I listen in the locker room, then I can just pick the highlights that I want tomorrow when the pod comes out. But the reason I had to jump in is because I think in all of that praise of Steph, you, Sam, are still underselling him. And you say this a lot. You say it could be another 10 years. It could be another 20 years until you get a player like Steph. But that is incongruous. That's a nice SAT word for you guys. It is incongruous for you to say that and then say he is also a top 15 or 20 player of all time. I happen to think he's a top 10 player of all time. But if he is a top 15 player of all time,
I was hedging. I'm not trying to open a ranking conversation right now.
Let's say the back end of what you just said. He's a top 20 player of all time. That means that there are only 19 possible players better than him in the history of the NBA. That means 2/3 of the franchises the Lakers have had more than their share. But at least. At least 1/3 of the franchises never have anybody as good as Steph and never have in the 70-year history of the NBA. You are underselling Steph even in your praise of him. The Warriors could never have a player of Steph's caliber ever again in the history of the franchise.
I think so.
Yeah.
Unless the Warriors become the Lakers.
Who's the best player in Raptors history, or who's the best player in
Hornets
history, or who's the best player in Kings history, or who's the best player in Clippers history, or who's the best player in Pacers history? Like, no.
And here's,
Steph, go ahead. Yeah,
I was gonna say here's the trickier part. The Warriors could get some like genetic mutation, like 7'2" freakish player in like 20 in like 15 years, but they aren't gonna connect with the fan base the same way as Steph, because he's been on the roster for 12 years. He's gonna end up playing for this team for 15 to 20 years. You know, like, you could make the case Kevin Durant's a better player than him. There's not a single Warriors fan who cares about Kevin Durant more than Steph Curry, and I love Kevin Durant as a player. Like, that's a secondary factor to it on top of it too. Well, like, you can go into it. It's like Steph ending his career as a Warrior means more to the Warriors building this brand as being like a franchise who fucking matters than anything.
My guess is Steph is the last all-time great that is going to play 12, 15, 20 years with one franchise.
Right.
It means something. But you also just said the franchise could get a genetic freak and blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They had one. His name is Wilt Chamberlain. And Steph is probably better than him all time.
True. Yeah, and, no, it's a good point.
And he also played with the Lakers.
Okay, it's time for you to go. your point stands. Yeah, it's not all just like, you know, I'm gonna kick you off before I say this, but yeah, appreciate you, Aaron. LeBron is one of the five or so best players of all time, maybe the second best, maybe the first if you didn't live in the 90s. But he doesn't, you know, outside of Cleveland, do Laker fans view him as the greatest of all time? No, Laker fans would tell you Magic, Kobe. Like, there's a little emotional response there. And I would say Steph has the ability, actually not the ability, he has that with the Bay Area in a way that, like, literally the only Bay Area athletes I can think of who might touch him are like Joe Montana and like Barry Bonds. Like, that's like, I have to go cross sport to get there.
But yeah. And I think Steph is another generation now because Joe exactly. Montana was even Joe. Was
Joe Montana's our parents. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like,
and Barry's like barely in my kind of wheel.
You're young.
But Steph is going to be. And here's the thing about Steph too. It's not like he's the Tim Duncan of his generation. But I also don't think Tim Duncan resonated with every other fan base,
right?
Outside of San Antonio, Timmy was awesome, but Timmy San Antonio,
Timmy got the NBA. Tip of the cap at the end of the career, right. But people aren't buying Tim Duncan jerseys in 2004 or 2003. I guess 2003 was like the peak. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, exactly.
He never a second Timmy was close to that. And we're talking about fame, and then that. Just the kind of adoration that Steph has is we heard MVP chants for Steph in away arenas, right? And we've heard them for years. It's insane, right? Like, I think the AD comparison I always like is that as I'm watching KD highlights on CSN,
is like AD is amazing, but he goes to LA. Nobody gives a shit about AD. Like, it just nobody cares about him.
Right.
That's a lot of the NBA right now, and that's not Steph. Steph is the unique guy where, dude, everyone loves. Like, everyone just cares. The guy is the best.
It's the perfect storm. He's a top, 10 to 20 player of all time. And then you have like the loyalty, multi-generational, like 10 plus year run with the fan base. Like, you're just not going to get that perfect storm. So go for it, you know? Anyway.
Yep.
Should we get a couple more callers on here before we call it a day?
Yeah, let's get a couple.
Dandy, what's up, man?
Hey, Sam. Hi. Long time.
Good. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I listened to your pod. I didn't hop onto the locker room because of the time conflict issues. So today was a great game. I wanted to ask a question. What can the Warriors do right now to help Steph with this little playoff push? I did the math a little bit. I don't know the exact numbers, but adding another player as the 15th man and removing Smiley from his existing spot and adding another player is not going to cost a lot. Steph has proven that much to show that, if you give him at least a few players who can really help, he can beat the 1 seed or the 2 seed. Not a likely scenario, but he can at least scare them off to a 6 or 7 game series. And that can help with the free agency. And it's becoming a little more clear. Bradley Beal doesn't want to come to Warriors. I'm not saying this based off on the base mode tweet. I saw the way he spoke of Russ and in the jump and other shows that he came on. He seems to really appreciate what Russ stands for and what he's doing. So we got to look for alternatives. So other than Pacers, Pacers breaking up, what do you think is the likely scenario for the Warriors to be a contender next year?
First off,
I'm shocked, Sam, that an Asian person decided to do the math before he called.
That's what this podcast is about. Come on, man.
Shouts to Dandy.
Yeah. So I was going to say two things. One, he's right. The Warriors need to use those roster spots, period. They need to. But the options of what they can do with it are also limited at the same time. Yeah, it's like you can't it's not like, KD or someone sitting on the wire. Yeah, so we're gonna end the show here. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate everyone who called in.